Dear George, that was War and Why Can't We Be Friends. Now, I want you to notice they're a band that calls themselves War, and yet they're saying, why can't we be friends? See, they get it, you don't, you know. Do we need to review again? It might be very well possible. We'll see. And I don't mind reviewing if that's what it takes. Hi. It was a beautiful weekend. As I've mentioned before, I live on the edge of a rainforest. Been nearly 3 months since it rained, and the leaves on the evergreen trees started turning brown. But Sunday morning it rained, and the skies were perfectly clear and blue, and the air was fresh, and you could see the top of Mount Rainier. It's about as clear as I can remember seeing it all summer. Couldn't have asked for a prettier day. What a day for a daydream, huh? It's always good to take a little time off, get refreshed, and get some energy back, you know, get the sarcasm up. Let's see, we're heading into winter, and the latest reports are that Americans will use 12% more energy to heat their homes this winter. Might want to consider that a clue. Check out the extended forecasts and prepare for an extreme winter. Extreme of, you know, cold and no rain and just things will be a little bit unusual. The reason I bring this up is really just to remind you that it's always good to be prepared. You know, a few solar supplies, like a solar camping lantern, you can get one of those for like 50, 60 bucks. Sounds like a lot of money, but, you know, when you consider that a lot of fires are started by candles and things like that when the power goes out, you can really save yourself a lot of time and trouble by just going out and getting one of these. And you can use them for camping, too. They're pretty cool. You just stick them in the sun during the daytime. You charge up at nighttime. You got yourself a 12-watt camping lantern. It's great. Let's see. Back to Hershey, Pennsylvania. Let's see. It looks like Cadbury Schweppes of Britain and Nestle of Switzerland are vying to take over a bit of an American dream. Close to an agreement on a joint bid for the company. Let's see, the company, of course, is famous for Hershey's Kisses and chocolate bars. Analysts have said the deal, which has attracted attention from U.S.-based Kraft Foods, could net $12 billion or more. Well, I personally hope Kraft gets it. They are, despite some negative press they've received, a very responsible company in the global community and are pretty well known for providing assistance to important programs to aid and nourish impoverished people in third world countries. You probably don't know that about them. It's true. Anyway, you know, I always like that, or like that term third world, you know, it's kind of like how I dislike the word tolerance in regard to attitudes about non-white citizens. Third world, it makes it sound like these people are from like somewhere else, like not one of us. Whether it's about Hershey, Pennsylvania, or the people of Africa, it's all about the same issue, really. It's all community. So who we are as a community that would allow visions like the one that inspired Hershey, Pennsylvania to just slip away to expediency. To have people like Jerry Nachman over at MSNBC referring to a roadkill problem in Pennsylvania having to do with the number of deer hit and the increased auto insurance costs associated with it. You ever seen the movie Powder? You know, and he kind of touches it and has the guy who shot the deer feel the emotions of the deer. I mean, they like really do have feelings too. So I'm not saying you shouldn't go hunting and, you know, get food and all of that. But, you know, what are we going to do? Kill all the deer, Jerry? Or make environmentally conscious infrastructure projects that allow for migration and safe passage? That would be new, huh? Expediency or the responsibility of a community. Which will it be? Our community, by the way, includes the animals and environment, and our own health depends on it. It's kind of like what Uncle Lou Dobbs over at CNN says. He says, and he makes a really reasonable comment, too. He says, let the Africans eat some of the 17 million tons of bioengineered corn stockpiled. It's the same kind that we eat. And, yeah, it's a logical thing to do, but See, I personally don't necessarily trust bioengineered food. I don't encourage it because it relies on technological manipulation to replace the delicate balance of nature. And it gives companies patents on foods in a way that inevitably forces farmers to buy seed and leases to grow food. It's not all bad, it just goes a little too far. It's all about this intent thing I keep talking about. It's like if your intent is to do good, you know, then good things will happen. If your intent is to take advantage of people, then, you know, you'll have people who don't like you. It doesn't need to be that way. So let's see. Back to Africa and the bioengineered corn. You know, we expect uneducated people to accept something that educated people aren't too sure of, especially given the rumors spread about things like supposed condoms that have the AIDS virus in them, superstitions, and the inaccuracy of word-of-mouth information in Africa. And you add all that up, and you've got a bunch of scared folks who have had deadly tricks played on them before. Their entire continent of people are being reduced to just the children of the dead and dying adults, and the children are being left behind, leaving them to raise each other. They have no heritage, no future, no instruction. Like I say, I think it's passive genocide. Don't do anything about it, and hey, don't take any blame. For those of us who voted with our checkbooks against companies that support apartheid, you might want to consider the same thing for the companies that make profits from African nations, but don't give anything back to the African people. Let's finish the job. I'm kind of focused on the problems in Africa right now. Currently, we have commitments for over 100 people ready to take the love train to Africa. That's next April. It'll be interesting. Plenty of time to prepare for that. I don't know why, but April 19th sticks out in my mind. Probably the day will arrive. I have this picture in my mind about a couple of thousand people showing up from the United States alone. Some great music acts and gifts from the people of other nations, things like books, clothing, medical supplies, and more, all there ready for these new global citizens to deliver and provide instruction for. That'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? It's going to be one of the first major projects of the Global Democratic Citizens Union. It's sort of a symbolic thing. I intend to contact leaders there and see what we can do to create a truly sustainable development program for Africa. Given the recent move of Tony Hall to the United Nations, I have a great deal of confidence that we can create some systems that will really deal with the long-term core issues facing the citizens of Africa. Tony, by the way, is one of our favorite people. He keeps getting nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for his humanitarian efforts, really. Maybe next year, Tony. Theme of the Union is, imagine it's a whole new world. All you have to do is want it. Of course, there's a song that goes with it, Ari. I'm going to dedicate it to you. And now that I've been working on my guitar playing and all of that, I'll actually be able to play and sing it without losing website visitors, I hope. There's a sub-theme, by the way, to all of our discussions called Change the Future. Synchronicity. I had just explained my version of a vision of this Africa trip to someone when the phone rang. It was, of course, another telephone solicitation. And this time it was for water purification systems, air purification, personal power generators, and a bunch more good things that are very much in line with the kind of company we want to expose as good global citizens on the Union website. It was really an interesting conversation. See, these people make products that would work, say, in Africa, especially like their water purification part. And the company is interesting, too. We'll probably have an interview with their CEO on the opening of the website. Story goes, they started the company some 15 years ago. In their third year of business, they weren't doing really well and were about to close the business. Then the CEO made an announcement to the company that he was going to just leave it in the hands of the Lord. They hung the Christian flag outside their building every day, and the company is still doing quite well. They said they took a lot of flack over declaring their Christianity, though. There are a couple of reasons I find all that interesting. First, because about 69% of Americans say they are reevaluating their values and religious faith. Second, because it relates to another phrase I'd like to introduce to our vernacular called the Silly Grin Society, which I'll detail more later. It seems to be catching on in the most unusual ways and places. And it's also about how patriotic Americans take a stand to deliver truth and to present viable alternatives to war. How they are always getting shot down in the press for being willing to stand up for something. Politicians make statements with an agenda to make inflammatory remarks that simply aren't true, let alone objective or patient. This info, by the way, stuff I'm talking about right now can be found on the MSNBC website under the transcript section. Look up the transcript from September 9th, 2002 for Chris Matthews' Hardball program. Very interesting program. As Bill Arkin said on that program, the impending invasion of Iraq is old business left over from 1991 and has nothing to do with September 11th. He also explained that this administration wanted to invade Iraq before September 11th, and so now they're trying to tie Iraq into it to get the public to support it, which apparently they're doing a good job of propagandizing. The Bushism of the day, by the way, goes to former President George Bush, Sr., I call him that. He said that there's no way to predict accurately the intent of evil people. Keep your eyes on that one. It kind of says a lot. He's really right about that. And don't forget, that can apply to people in the United States as well. He also, interestingly enough, disagrees with folding various intelligence agencies into the Homeland Security Department. All of that, in my mind anyway, has to do with that Bible verse I quote regarding what's going on these days. It's a verse that says the sons will do what the fathers wouldn't do. Such as invading a country without world support for the action, allow Americans to lose their pensions and stock investments while allowing top executives to walk away with millions of dollars, and allowing stock options to be excluded from the bottom lines of corporate profit statements. See, I thought we sort of had a general men's agreement in the world that we were going to have an honest, open discussion about the variety of options available. George Bush swore he would consult with other world leaders. What he's actually done is call a number of them, most of them who tell him, no, George, don't do it. Now he's consulting with France and Australia and Great Britain, and they're all talking about caution, and France says they're not interested at all. But they already have troops in position in northern and southern Iraq. It's a show. They're all integrated into an attack plan seemingly led by the United States. Which states are united? Does a state necessarily mean a state like Massachusetts or Louisiana? Are we talking about nation states? And then, of course, the story of Scott Ritter. He took a courageous stand to seek a way to avoid war, like a real diplomat or statesman would do. Everyone would win if we were to avoid war, and people call him a renegade Marine for having the courage to go to Iraq and urge them to open their doors to legitimate inspections. Let me tell you a few things about Scott Ritter. This is, of course, one of those I was there stories. Really, it is. Here, there, and everywhere. Scott probably doesn't remember me. I worked with a very nice family member of his in Seattle about 20 years ago. Scott is no renegade. He's a career Marine with a commitment to peace. He understands that sometimes the military must be used to enforce peace. Back in the early 80s, he was a major in the Marines who volunteered for the UN peacekeeping force in the Middle East 3 months before war broke out. He was in the middle of it. He knows what war and peace are about. He's a real patriot. Real patriot. Let's see headlines. Ex-UN weapons inspector Scott Ritter branded an independent think tank's report on Iraq's capability to launch a nuclear attack as all speculative. We'll get to that more. Tony Blair is to brand Saddam an outlaw in a speech to union leaders on Tuesday, probably by the time you hear this. Quote goes on to say, in the face of evidence that Saddam has chemical and biological weapons, and evidence that he is continuing his efforts to develop nuclear weapons, we cannot stand by and do nothing, Blair will say. course, then there's George Bush himself and all of his friends, you know, Bush leaders or Bush lobby's leaders on Iraq. You know, like I said, George, you know, just because I took a few days off, you know, I didn't do any fundraisers, by the way, and I'm still doing quite well. And I can only save the world one day at a time. But I will, George, and you know it. See, I'm a little upset because we were going to have, you know, honest and open discussions and consultations. But, you know, y'all want to talk about how if they were given everything they were needed, all the money and scientists, too, they could build an atomic bomb. Well, let me tell you, George, if Santa Claus flew down your chimney and left three stuffed animals too close to the fire and someone had accidentally placed fissible materials in them, it could possibly set off a bomb, which you could use as an example to Americans about the dangers of terrorism. I can see the headline, and it doesn't take a clairvoyant to see it, George. Bambi bombs in Billings. They could make it into a movie. I shouldn't say stuff like that. It'll probably happen. Propaganda, George. Let's see. Saddam could make a bomb in 6 months if he could get fissible materials, which supposedly he hasn't done after trying very hard for 20 years. And his incursions into Kuwait, by the way, was because Kuwait was stealing oil from Iraq. Let's tell the truth about at least one thing, And now to really punctuate the fraud being perpetrated on the public to get them all scared and ready to go to war, Vice President Dick Cheney goes to an undisclosed location. Again. I think he's got a hot tub there myself. Rolling Stones, 40 Licks, great hits on that CD. A great tour going across the country, kicked off, what was it, in Boston the other night? Like I always say, I know it's only rock and roll, but I like it. James Taylor's October Road, it's out there. It's great. I saw the concert the other night on pay-per-view. Just love James Taylor. I guess it's not a mystery, is it? Personally, I really like the song 4th of July on that album. It talks about the kingdom of God and the rights of man. Only the way James Taylor can do it. Bruce Springsteen, The Rising, cool. Can't wait for Santana's new album to come out. And, you know, I'm really surprised at Simone. You know, I thought it was a great movie myself. The critics, I don't know why, they don't seem to like it as much, but I kind of look at it as being one of those things where the critics are looking for different things than us folks who are watching movies. I thought it was very great. Let's see. Oh, and Gordon Lightfoot, I'm really sorry to hear it. The other night, he was scheduled to do a concert in Canada, and he became very ill, has some problems with his stomach. They took him into intensive care. Or, I'm sorry, they took him into surgery. Now he's in intensive care in Canada at a hospital. If you don't know about Gordon Lightfoot, he was, you know, very much a 70s star, of course. He's a great singer and musical historian himself in his own right. Sorry to hear, Gordon. Get well soon. Let's see. Oh, you know, I wanted to mention, you know, Americans really pride themselves on being good Samaritans, and they have good reason to do that, because they are. But giving to charitable organizations is way down, and there's a reason for that, too. I bet you didn't know this. 60% of Americans live below or just above the poverty line. 63% of Americans rely on Social Security for their primary source of income upon retirement. Now think about those numbers and make your own decisions about what America's priorities should be. You know, like America or $50 to $100 billion to go to war. So when you write to your representatives and remind them of things, remember to remind them what the word acquiesce means. Remember last week I suggested that world leaders speak their vision for their people and their nations? I hope Saddam Hussein will do the same. Tell us of his vision and what he seeks as the leader of his people so that we can understand. Meanwhile, let's see, Yasser Arafat, a journalist, has decided that he's going to use his skills to cause peace in the Middle East. I want to. He was appointed by Yasser Arafat. Yasser Arafat, by the way, addressed the parliament of the Palestinian representatives for the first time in 18 months. He says Palestinians are on the verge of statehood. Addressing the Israelis, Arafat said, "We want to achieve peace with you. We want security and stability for us. and for you based on international resolutions and the agreements between us. Israeli and Palestinian negotiators plan to hold high-level meetings on Tuesday to discuss the implementation of a ceasefire and the resumption of negotiations. But an advisor to Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon said he saw little new in Arafat's remarks. So to both sides, first I want to say that I doubt a vision for a country and a people includes terrorists. And cynicism about any gestures about peace and reconciliation are merely a real-life portrayal of Israel's unwillingness to consider that they need to be responsible for their actions as well. The Israelis have been gravely misled by the United States. I hope they realize the deception before it subjects them to another persecution, theirs and the Palestinians. Might makes right only goes so far. Tomorrow we're going to talk about the weather and the Gulf of Tonkin, pets, and a few other issues, like the conviction of Alexander and Derek King. Before I go, I want to tell you about the Silly Grin Society. It occurred to me to pass an observation on to a couple of people, and it seems to be working. The Silly Grin Society, it's fun. To be a member, you have to promise to do something. It's a very private organization. There are no membership lists for the government to procure and harass you with. And it's very much about reaching down into yourself and remembering something. Let's see if you can do it. You know, you can do it 24 hours a day, too. And you got to qualify every minute of the day. It's not like something you do once and you've got a lifetime membership. But all you have to do is just pause for a moment whenever you feel frustrated or discouraged and just close your eyes. And by the way, this is not recommended while driving. And just think about something you really love, like Rocky Road ice cream, swinging in a hammock, playing golf, great sex. After a while, it'll become automatic. And you'll be walking around with a silly grin on your face, too, and the people will wonder why, and you can tell them to think of something they love and then feel the love fill them up until they're grinning, and after a while, it'll be like an inside joke that'll make you giggle. Then even more people will be grinning, and it'll just catch on. It's a cool thing, it's kind of silly, but I guarantee it feels great and it works. There could be a lot worse things than, you know, one of my favorite things, a bunch of crotchety old coots smiling. I think that would be a good thing. Could help. Oh yeah, one more thing. I want to say it's great to see Chris Matthews back on the air over at MSNBC. Love having someone to have a good argument with. Glad to see you feeling better, Chris. That's a wrap. Have a good night.